Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present, on history.org. This is Behind the Scenes, where you meet the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. This Thursday, February 7th, Colonial Williamsburg actor-interpreter James Ingram will put on a costume and stand before the cameras to play a role he knows well. The production is The Electronic Field Trip, No Master Over Me, and the character is Matthew Ashby, a free black man who purchased his wife and two children in order to set them free. James Ingram joins us now to tell us more. One of the things about No Master Over Me, I think it tells people about blacks who were not slaves that many people don't know even existed. For instance, you were a free black.
Absolutely.
Your wife and two kids were both slaves.
Yes.
You worked and made the money to purchase them.
Yes.
Right? But they were still slaves after you purchased them.
Yes.
It's just you owned them instead of somebody else.
The real quagmire is the fact that the free black is between the twicks. They're between the white society and the enslaved society. Society is made mostly of whites, but you had a large number of slaves. And these sort of invisible people, the free blacks, were part of the system, but yet not part of the system. And the question is, are they really free? And what is freedom? And often the law of slaves included free blacks. Because when they wrote slave laws, they often included bond or free within the writing. Therefore, free blacks were included in restrictions of movement, also weapons, you can have ammunition, and certain individual rights that are afforded to most white citizens are not afforded to the free black citizen.
Matthew Ashby. He's bought his wife and kids now. But he realizes that if he gets in the debt or something goes wrong, his wife and two kids are still slaves and could be sold as pieces of property to settle his debt. What does he do?
Well, he goes to John Blair, the council, president of the governor's council. And that's a peculiar relationship in itself because, as we well know, there's a caste system in this society, and therefore you're sort of born into a caste, and you're kept there by the constraints of societies and laws and what have you. And normally, a person of Matthew Ashby's stature, he was a carter, he was an honest working, very hard working person, but he had contacts with very powerful people. John Blair being one of the most powerful in Virginia, Governor Bonnetoc, he had some duties to take some very important legal papers out west, and so, and he seemed to rub shoulders with these very powerful people, which gave him a leg up in society. Therefore, he was able to move around and be part of people's lives that normally you wouldn't be part of. And also, you know the system. He knew the system. I think it's an advantage being born here as a free black and even an enslaved person. It's an advantage because you get to know the system. And you get to know how to move around even those laws and those restraints that are put before you. You know how to get over and get around those. And Matthew Ashby was one of those wise a man that could maneuver society to meet his needs, and knowing that his wife in 150 pounds, that's how much it costs to purchase her from Mr. Sparrow, and his daughter and his son John and Mary, that's a lot of money. Most people won't see that much money in their lifetime. That's a lot of money to raise to purchase her. And then, as you said, you know, became his slaves. So the next step is how to manumit them, and that's not an easy process. first of all, at this particular point in time, it's not very popular for manumission for the enslaved. You have to go before the council and general court in the Capitol building. You have to answer the question. It should be some meritorious deed that had been done to give them freedom. And if you give them freedom, or they granted freedom to these slaves, they have to leave the colony within 6 months. Now, that's a real problem. If you have a wife, you have children, and so how are you going to get around that? So obviously, because he knew the right people, he got that the letter of manumission read to his advantage. And that's, you know, that's sometimes it's a hurdle to get over some of these laws and some of these problems in society for a free black or even an enslaved person. But he found a way to do it, and obviously he had a mission to do this. Yes,
he clearly knew how to use
it. Well, Mr. Spur had no idea he could raise that much money. I mean, he probably threw out a figure. He said, I know he'll never be able to get this much money up in this amount of time, in 2 years' time. But, you know, sometime again, when you are in a oppressed situation, and sometimes you don't know what's inside of you until you're put into this situation. Many of the enslaved and many of the free blacks and Indians and Irish, they found themselves in these situations, and they found ways to rise like the phoenix out of the ashes of slavery, out of the ashes of the oppressed. They find ways to rise up, but because there's something inside of you that triggers you to really fight for what you want. And it stunned many people of these heroic people like Matthew Ashby, how they were able to get this done without much problem. Mm-hmm.
There are a number of situations where slaves or free blacks, they would hire other slaves or buy other slaves. Mm-hmm. There was a shoemaker.
Yes, John Rawlinson.
Who had slaves and made a lot of money.
John Rawlinson is a real go-getter. He didn't let the strains of society or the laws restrict him. I mean, he owns a tavern somewhere in Yorktown on the river. He owns a shoe shop. He has many people working for him. He has slaves. Some he inherited from his own family, and some he purchased. And, you know, one thing about free blacks in this society with slaves, they is sort of a juggernaut for them, because they are watched not only by the whites in society, but the blacks in society. And so someone like a John Rawlinson, you know, if there was some kind of rumor or that he was treating his slaves badly, that would get back to the leaders of the black community. And the elders and matriarchs and the preachers like Gowan Pamphlet would go knocking at his door and have a little talk with John Rawlinson. But John Rawlinson just did not let the constraints of this society hold him back. He obviously was able to read the law. He knew many things about the law. He gave testimony in the York County cases and many things. And, you know, he was just one of those people.
Now, as I remember it, if your mother was black, you were black. Mm-hmm. If your mother was white, you were not black. Matthew Ashby, for instance, mm-hmm. had been born of a slave father and mm-hmm. a white mother.
Yes.
So he never was a slave.
Correct.
He grew up as a free man who learned carpentry from somewhere, although I've never been sure where he learned carpentry.
Well, the distinction here is the law. In 1662, the law is written. Now, slavery had not been fully enacted here yet. It's sort of the beginnings, just kind of seeing slavery becoming part of society. The law read, the condition of the mother is the condition of the child. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if your mother is white at this particular point in time, then the child normally is going to be free, or even as we know, before the law actually that was enacted in 1670, even the black woman, her child was free, because again, they had not really made slavery legal yet, they had not enforced it. And so this is sort of the beginning, just kind of seeing slavery become part of society. 1670, the law really nails it. Any Negro, mulatto, Indian, coming by land or sea from a non-Christian country will be a slave for the rest of your natural life. There were about 300 blacks in Virginia before that law was written. They were never, ever slaves. After that law is written, if you're coming over from Africa on those slave ships, your mother will deem who would be in the society, and normally that would be slave. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know there were 300 non-slave blacks before 1670.
Yes.
I just assumed that from 1619 on, blacks were slaves.
Oh, no. And that's where a lot of people don't know this, and they haven't studied it and researched it to understand this. It's about the law. The law had to be written first. Before these Africans came over to be made slaves. It wasn't in Virginia. The first legal slavery was in Massachusetts. And that law was 1632. And so all of those Africans that were coming over from Africa are slaves after the law is written. The law has to be written for English colonies before slavery is legal. Slavery is really about the law.
The electronic field trip, No Master Over Me, airs February 7th, 2008 on history.org/trips and on local public broadcasting stations. That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. Let us know what you think about the show. Leave your feedback at www.history.org/podcast. Check history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.